This is that other sports shit. Let's go.
The store by my house, Freshco, had for, it's been over a month, 59 cent bangs.
What?
Dude, yes. And I have been buying only for the past, so here's, I went through the whole policy. First, it was like any flavor, anything you can get, anything goes. That lasted for about 10 days. And then it went to, okay, we only have limited flavors. Like we have purple, we have lime, and we have key lime pie. It's like, don't give a fuck. I'm going to keep going. At some point, I realized they brought out an entire shopping cart full of key lime pies. A full fucking shopping cart.
Damn.
And just put 59 cents on it. And I went, okay. So I recognized at this point, I better start buying as many of the other flavors that I can because there's going to come a point where there's just key lime. Well, I've reached that point. So for 2 weeks straight, I've been drinking key lime pie bangs, 59 cent every fucking day. I mean, they're 59 cents.
I'm telling you, though, I would be in heaven because I actually really, really love the key lime pie.
Do you really?
I love it.
Listen, let me tell you, it's like alcohol. You know when you drink so much cheap beer, you want cheap beer?
Yeah.
I'm all in on a fucking key lime pie. Because I've just been drinking it for over 2 weeks straight.
And at 59 cents a pop, you're saving a grip load of cash.
On 2 for $4, I feel like it's a deal. 2 for $4. I'm like, that's a good deal. My wife said they had them 2 for $3 the other day. And I was like, that's impossible. I don't know where you're at. But dude, 59 fucking cents.
You found like the black market bang distributor.
There's none left. I'm telling you now, there's none fucking left. So it went from that shopping cart to they stuck them in a Rain energy drink fridge. And now the Rain energy drink fridge is now starting to populate with other random energy drinks because the bangs are now running out. So I don't know if they have more in the back. I'm doubting it. I'm assuming that they brought out the shopping cart because I'm at the store every fucking day. And I'm assuming once that fridge is out that they're truly out. But I think I got maybe another week left of 59 cent bangs. And then maybe at some point, if I look in there and I see like, okay, there's only 10 of these left. Then I just go all in. I just buy all 10, right?
I mean, you'll have to at that point in time. I mean,
yeah, at that point, it just becomes an
eventually infection. Somebody's going to catch on to this racket that they've got going on.
No, other people have. I'm telling you, other smart individuals have. And I'm assuming it's those worker bees that are in there in the morning getting their fucking shit to eat lunch or shit to eat breakfast. And they're just grabbing them because like
they're
I
grabbing
said,
their quick stop burrito egg sandwich because
they make them there. They make the egg breakfast. They make the breakfast burritos there and shit like that. So they're grabbing them.
Then they're like, "Fuck! I get my egg sandwich and a bang for 59 cents. I'm grabbing
can't
three
beat
of them."
It. Dude, that's what they're doing. I'm telling you, the good flavors went quick. All the good flavors went quick, and then it was just lemon lime, fucking the black and yellow, the purple haze. And then green, the fucking the key lime. And
the purple haze isn't too bad.
I'll fuck a purple haze up. Yeah. I love purple haze. But I had a different bang for the first time during Full Gear. And that's where I want to kind of start the show, by the way.
Okay.
I had a fucking an apple crisp one. And yeah. I was like, holy shit. I forgot what other bangs taste like because I've only been drinking one flavor fucking bang. For
just key lime pie for like the last like 14
Dude, two
days.
Weeks. I'm telling you now, 14 days, mark it down because, you know, I ain't going a day without at least one bang. At some point in my fucking day, I'm going to crash. It's usually around this time, sometime between 11 and 1. My work crash is going to come. My pre-workout from 5 in the morning crash is going to come. And I got to get at least one bang in me. Now, a night like tonight, AEW Dynamite Night, 1,000,000%. I'll be having another bang sometime right around that second hour. I'll fucking split one with my wife, or I'll start drinking half of one, or I'll sip on one. I won't drink the whole thing because I gotta go to sleep.
Yeah, right.
But my buddy brings bangs for AEW Dynamite because he just gets out of work at 5 and he's ready to fucking get recharged and have fun. Okay. Hey, leave as much of that as you want to, by the way, because that was fun.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's an odd day to be having the show. We haven't done a Wednesday show in a while. And I say a while, because I think we actually did one a few weeks back.
Yeah, we did. But then, overall, but then prior to that.
Overall, it's been a grip of time that my counterpart, Jason Valdez over here, and myself have done a Wednesday show. We're doing one right now, midday. Why not? We're just going to get out of the way because tomorrow we're all going to stuff our faces full of food, delicious, delicious pies, treats, candies, all sorts of things. We're all going to gain 15 pounds. Yes. And then the next day, hope that we can get to the gym and fit into our gear long enough to get in there and hit the treadmill for 20 to 40 minutes. Except for some of us who have to work, like myself, but that's fine. That's the line of business I got into. Folks, we got football, which, of course, will also lead us into Thanksgiving. A lot of some Thanksgiving Day football games that we have to cover. Over unders, who's gonna win? The winners, the turkey legs. We also have regular football. We also have last week's pay per view, which was I thought was really good. I thought last week's pay per view, MMA UFC 281, thought it was very good. Surprise ending. I don't think too many people saw this unless you were in Alex Pereira's camp. Okay, I definitely didn't. I mean, I've been sitting there bashing on the guy for like the last 2 weeks. So I was not in that boat. But folks, let me start this off by saying hello. Happy holidays. I'm Jesse Thomas.
Yes.
You're with me today. And with me, as always, my man, Mr. Jason Valdez. Jay, say hi.
Hey, I love you, Jess. Happy holidays for the next 2 to 4 shows. We can say happy holidays. Jess, the press to get to episode, what was it, 34 or 35? I think it's behind us. I don't know if we're going to do as many episodes this year as we did last year. Where are we there? Do you know by any chance?
I think this is episode 30. This is 30.
And what did we hit last year? It was 34 or 35, right?
Yeah, I think we were right above 30. I think 35 was the number I was hoping to hit this year.
So we got it's in play. We got to basically do a show every week, which I'm good
which
with.
Is not going to happen. Let's just be real.
No, wow. Why do you got to rain on my parade right now? I just said I think it's possible.
It's the holidays, man. We got stuff happening. Things are going to happen. Something's going to come up. Family stuff. Jesus. Something.
Wednesday. We do a show Wednesday like this. Who knows?
Yeah, we could.
You never know. Okay, so I am looking right now. Shout out Pat McAfee. I have paused his television show because he has all of the lines up. I, of course, have thelines.com up, all of your favorite gambling sites. We're going to hit those football games. We're going to hit last week's fight. Jess, you are right. We'll talk a little bit of holidays right now while we're at it. Tis the season, if you will. You're a holiday guy. I'm a holiday guy. We love this time of year. I don't know if it's just because we're old now. We're a lot older than we were when we started doing this show close to 10 years ago. But this is truly a time that you and I enjoy. And now we can say with no issues, no prejudice, happy holidays, Jesse.
Happy holidays, Jay.
We've made it.
I love you, brother. We're okay, here. Listen. We're doing another one. It's another holiday season. It's great. What? It is. It is my time of year, man. They say the holiday spirit runs rampant this time of year, but for me, it truly does. Like, I am full of just love and excitement and energy, and the Christmas spirit, man. I mean,
Jess, if you had a day off, and someone offered you $100 to be mall Santa Claus, would you do it?
Hell yes, I would be mall Santa Claus.
One day, $100. $100.
$100 to let some snot-nosed kid, some wet diaper rash going on my lap all day. I'm a whisper to those kids all day. What do you want from Santa Claus?
You're just
going
to
get excited. You're it's just all gonna, about the excitement of that.
You're just going to be smelling like medicated Desitin. You're just going to have a lap. Just purple medicated Desitin and then a little bit of little bit of Ben Gay and a little bit of Hot 90, a little bit of fucking vapor. What do you call that shit? Vicks Vaporub, kids.
What's
Vaporub?
That stuff that Shaq uses? Shaq always has commercials for hot, hot and cold, whatever it's called. Yeah, man, I'll be rubbing that stuff all over me at the end of the day. But you know what? I'm gonna love it.
You have every to. Second. You have to.
You know what? As you get older, the best part about getting older is not really the stuff that you get. For me, it's always just getting like my kids stuff, or in my case now, I'm so old that I have grandkids now. So it's great to give my grandkids things, see their faces light up, just, you know, everything. This Friday, so tomorrow's Thanksgiving, the day after, we have a scheduled Santa parade in my town. So I'm going to take the grandkids to that.
Shit.
Doing a little Santa parade action.
Holy shit. It's going to be great. Santa Claus is going to be in the building on a fuck in the parade, I'm guessing. He's the grand finale, right?
You don't need to be there. Black Friday is happening. Everybody's going to be ordering stuff online. There is no
Black Friday. We've eliminated it. We've eliminated
it. We don't have Black Friday no more.
We've eliminated it. It's
gone. Pretty sure I've heard commercials
that. Yeah, you go online now. Everything's online.
Go online, Black Friday online. Online Black Friday.
I wonder, there's got to be some stores that are doing Black Friday in store. I just don't, they're just not advertising it, right?
I have, you know what? Now that's
is it like Kohl's?
I have seen a ton of the online Black Friday sales.
It's all online.
I think it is.
Well, but what about like Kohl's?
You don't need Santa for Black Friday because it's all online. Everybody's purchasing online. So Santa can make a Santa parade happen on a Friday.
Is Kohl's, give me, is Big Five, who is truly working the Black Friday? If you work Black Friday this year in 2022 and you're listening to this podcast, we salute you. Shout out to you. You're a hardworking individual, male, female, however you choose to identify. Shout out to you. Shout out to supporting us. Know we support you. Jesse, I want to go here. I want to start here. Last show, we started with a little pro wrestling. This week, we're going to start a little bit of pro wrestling. MJF, Maxwell Jacob Friedman, is the AEW champion, Jesse. Do you have any... just scratch the surface thoughts on MJF, where he's at as a champion. Are you excited to see him as a champion? And who, if you have anybody in mind, beats this guy and takes his title off of him, takes his strap off of him?
Let's talk about the double turn. You have the combat
Blackpool Combat
Black,
Club?
Blackpool Combat
the BCC?
Club. You have the turn.
William Regal.
I can't even think of William Regal. Sir William Regal.
I sniffed that one out like you could not believe.
I should have seen it coming, especially since William Regal spent his whole career like basically being a heel. You know, he has a lot of the heel turns. But to see him turn, slide the brass knucks to MJF.
It's perfect.
Oh my gosh, it was such a good. And you know what? People can't be mad about it either. See, a lot of people, they'll get mad and say, "Well, it wasn't a clean finish." I just want to say that MJF has been groomed to have this spot at this moment since he
came to AEW.
All
the way back to year one. All the way back to year one.
And you can't tell me, you know what? This is why in my opinion, there's only been one other person to be able to speak their role as well as MJF, and that is The Rock himself, Dwayne Johnson. Wow. I've never heard anybody. MJF has literally gone from, you know, he's just this like kid from Jersey, and like, you know, he's trying to get his comeuppance.
He's grown into his own in the 3 years.
And now
he's
gone through all the stages. He went through a short little period of like, you know, taking the reins of the hero.
We'll go, yeah.
Then he went right back to the heel.
Jesse, you year one, Cody. He did the stuff with Cody Rhodes. Mm-hmm. He did the pinnacle stuff with the big heel turn on Cody, and then the stuff with the pinnacle with FTR, the Wardlow stuff, the CM Punk stuff. He has been really elevating himself in regards to where he started on the card to where he's at now. I mean, he truly has.
And to me, it all starts on the mic.
Yeah.
People, there's been a lot of professional wrestlers over the years that have a good mouthpiece, but then they can't perform necessarily in the ring. And I think MJF had gotten a little bit of rap for being a good mouthpiece, but not being able to perform in the ring. He has gotten so much better in ring. And then to match that with the mouthpiece, which I believe is the best mouthpiece in the entire industry right now.
Yeah.
No one can make people feel the way that MJF makes them feel. No one. I just don't believe it.
He's prime Flair right now on the mic. He's prime The Rock, like you said. He feels like a guy that when it's all said and done could be that on the mic skills Mount Rushmore guy. He really can cut a promo. And like you said, it's a unique thing to be able to do in this business. And we talk about with sports, the tools, right? Having all the tools. And he's got the look. He's built his body up now to where he looks a lot better. He just looks like a bigger guy. He's got the wrestling skill set there where I remember 2 years ago going, AEW is about spot monkey stuff. It's about guys getting their shit in. It's about top rope planchas and guys diving from off the top into the floor. That's what they do. That's what the Bucks do. That's what the Lucha Bros do. That's what all these guys do. MJF didn't work like that. MJF really worked like an old Larry Zbysko or yes. Roddy Piper. He never left his feet. And even this past pay-per-view, watching him in this match, and I'm seeing him go on the top rope and he's leaving his feet. I'm like, this isn't what we've seen him do. Why is he doing this? Is this because the match is so long? But he's truly, when I look at the last 3 years, Jess, and I look at Jungle Boy, and I look at Big Will Hobbs, and I look at these guys, Darby, and these guys where you go, all right, these guys have all kind of had a spot. And I don't want to say they've blown it, but maybe they haven't taken the ball and ran with it the way that MJF has.
Yes.
And maybe it's just because they're lacking on the mic, or they're lacking that specific look, or I don't want to say they're lacking that specific matchup, because not every matchup that MJF has been given has been great. He's just been able to make the best out of it. And that's what has put him onto this plateau. And I am excited to see them do great things with him here, Jess. And not to cut in on what you were saying either, but I think when Tony Khan had this initial vision, right, this long-term vision of 3 to 5 years, I think he's right on pace where he thought, I want to have Jericho be the world champion. I want to have a Kenny Omega be the world champion. I want to be able to bring a Moxley over and have him be the world champion. I want to have Hanger be the world champion. These Jericho, Omega, and Hanger, those are the three guys that truly started AEW with Tony. So those guys having the belt makes sense. And now here we are, Punk with the belt, and now moving it to MJF. And to wrap back around here, Jess, and then we'll keep it moving, who the fuck beats this guy? Because I don't think you take the belt off of this guy for like a year. I'm not even fucking around. I think you keep the belt on this guy for all of this upcoming year. Is it
2023. I agree.
Keep the belt on him the entire fucking year. You just have guys chasing him.
You don't. Okay. So where I think WWE has gone wrong with Roman Reigns is they've built him up to this unstoppable, immovable object. And I think that when he loses, the feel is going to be kind of let down. It doesn't matter who ends up beating Roman. I feel like there's going to be a letdown, because it's going to be like, well, he's had the belt for like 400 days or something like that. Or, you know, like, who can beat Roman?
I think it's tough
with MJF is just like you said, and I hope that they do something like this. You have guys constantly chasing MJF, chasing him. You have MJF putting off some matches, you know, using the mic to, like, you think you want some of MJF, but you can't. I'm not going to accept your challenge.
Exactly.
Have him kind of avoid and duck some matches, take some matches on that you can make, you know, give him Penta, give him some of these guys that he can beat and that will allow him to look really good in these matches. Yeah. And then save the big names, like you said, the Hangman Pages, you know, save the Jericho match if there's going to be one later on.
Save the rematch
with Mox. Save some of these for the bigger shows.
I think, you know, you think of, okay, the Wardlow rematch is there because of the way Wardlow.
They have been building him up.
You can bring Adam Cole back on television tonight, and all of a sudden you got Adam Cole versus MJF, and that blows the roof off. I know I've been reading a lot of weird tweets about Bryan Danielson, whatever the fuck we're calling him, saying he doesn't have any interest in being in the championship, but him versus MJF is intriguing. And I believe they can pull great matches out of each other. So there's names there. And then, of course, Mox comes back and he chases too. But the chase, you know, when I look at JBL and JBL's title reign and how a lot of it was him coming out the back door, finding unique ways to keep that belt and never defending it and just being a real heel champion. Recent heel champion, right? That I think you can do the same thing with MJF.
Yeah.
With, like you said, Jess, he's only defending that belt at pay-per-views, at Winter is Coming, at the big Dynamites, the big Clash of Champions that they do on the weekends on TBS or TNT. Make it once again kind of have a little bit more, I don't want to use the word legitimacy, but a little more shine to it when it is defended, as opposed to with Mox, it felt like Mox was just defending it like every 2 or 3 weeks. And it's like, oh, he's defending it against Lee Moriarty? What the fuck? But I think we're both in agreement here. I think we're both intrigued. And if you stick with us for this 12 minutes of wrestling talk, thank you very much. Jess, I guess MJF was talking shit to Patty the Batty on Twitter. I don't follow much into that other than don't work yourself into a shoe, brothers. let me say this, Jess. We're gonna talk about this past UFC, and I don't want to spend too much time on it because I know it might be a little bit old tread on the tire. But where we were wrong, right? We both thought this Puelas kid was gonna be able to do something against Dan Hooker. Boy, were we wrong. This guy went old school Damian Maya, almost laying on his back. Once this kid could not get a takedown against Dan Hooker, Dan Hooker easily picked him apart. Jess, do you have any thoughts on that fight?
No, just Dan Hooker's takedown defense seems very up to par. It just goes to show the type of camp that he had. They really geared towards him not going to the ground and having that be a ground scrap and just really levels keeping it where shit. Hooker is comfortable, which is on his feet.
Levels to this shit. This just felt like a levels to this shit fight, and the Puelas kid just was not ready for this level of competition, which we discussed might happen when we did our preview show. Gutierrez versus Frankie Edgar. When Frankie Edgar was coming out, Jess, I took a smoke break because I had a feeling this was not going to end well. At a slice of pizza. While I was eating the slice of pizza and having a smoke break, I could hear inside what was happening. And I stuck my head in and went, did Frankie get knocked out? And they went, yep. And I just went right back outside of the smoke break. We all saw this coming. It was unfortunate. Once again, Jess, we've seen it with BJ Penn. We've seen it with Nick Diaz. We've seen it with a lot of our favorite fighters. The tail end of your career is not great. We said it last show. We hope great things for Frankie outside of the cage.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I wish that the way that we've been seeing these fights, I really wish that when these fighters would come to the conclusion, like, hey, this is my last one. Like, I wish Dana would match them up with another guy that's kind of on his way out too. I mean, yeah. It's great to have them. Like, you know, Gutierrez is, you know, shows some great power. That knee was vicious, great timing, but it's just youthfulness, man. He was so fast, light on his feet. The strikes were so crisp. I mean, Frankie was just having a hard time defending and seeing where everything was coming from. Obviously mistimed his takedown and just got caught really bad. I would rather see him fight a guy who is on his way out. Like I mentioned in a tweet, I said Frankie Edgar and Jose Aldo should have been both men's last fight. That way, if you have a vicious knockout, maybe that happens. Everybody still kind of cheers. There's still a feel-good moment. You know, maybe it goes all five rounds and both men finish in a decision. Then you can still have a feel-good moment. But now it's kind of like, well, we saw Frankie coming into this. It kind of sucks. Gutierrez, good kid. I mean, showed a lot of class, you know, like held on to Frankie and kind of, you know, got some words of wisdom from Frankie.
Correct him as he was getting knocked out.
As he was getting knocked out. So this is a classic kid. You know, what I took away most from this fight is that I'm looking forward to the youngster and seeing what he has next, you know. And we all know that Frankie's going to be, he's going to be taken care of.
Yeah. Again, we'll keep it moving here. I want to do a little bit of where we were right on this one, because when we discussed Poirier Chandler, we knew this was going to be a firefight. I think a lot of us did, but I made it a point to say it's important that Poirier stays on the outside and forces Chandler to try and make that phone booth fight. Poirier did just that. He was able to stay outside. He was able to pepper. He was able to beat up the body, land nice, effective straight punches. Chandler is so fucking dangerous and just loads up like you wouldn't believe. And I believe might have hurt Poirier a few times in this fight. Jess, give me some thoughts on this fight, and then I want to come back and get some second thoughts on this fight.
I thought Poirier finally looked he looked good. He looked more fluid. I've said in the past that Poirier is very robotic in his approach to striking. I've made the comparison to some Donald Cerrone fights. Mm-hmm. And he looked relaxed in this fight. He looked loose. And I want to just make a quick little thought, is that it wasn't a title fight. There was nothing truly on the line. And I felt like Poirier was able to just kind of be relaxed in the cage, instead of all the hype and everything around some sort of title defense or a title gain. So just a big time fight. Both men came in. They both looked hype. Michael Chandler obviously looking for those big, you know, squared up punches. Poirier just bouncing around on the outside, like you said, kind of peppering him with lefts and a lot of straights coming right down the pike. And he just kind of kept Chandler where he was supposed to be, where he wanted him to be, and not allow Chandler to make it that phone booth fight or allow for those quick, big takedowns. And, you know, it just went to show that Michael Chandler's biggest weakness in the game of mixed martial arts is that if he can't get in close, if he can't pepper you with the body, if he can't make it a phone booth fight or get those takedowns, he's in a little bit of trouble. And Poirier exploited that.
Yeah, I'm still a Chandler fan. I'm interested in seeing what they do with him next. But you are right. The blueprint to beat him is there. And never want to say a guy's been exposed. But he's had this incredible run of fights. And I discussed this last show again, where he's fought top-tier competition. And there's nothing wrong with losing to top-tier competition, even in a loss like that. The one thing I wanted to scratch the surface on here, Jess, you know, there was a little bit of shady shit going on in this fight, right? And I know Poirier's talked about it here. And Poirier said it after the fight. He said he fish hooked me. He tried to stick his hands in my mouth so he can apply choke. And when he's saying this, I'm thinking, Poirier just came out of a fight. There's no fucking way that that actually happened. I've been watching fights forever. I don't know if I've ever seen that in the UFC. And then they show the replay, and you can clearly fucking see him doing it, Jess. give me your thoughts on this, Jess. Is this a, you know, hey, it's a fight. It ain't cheating if you don't get caught. You know, do you feel like, hey, there's got to be a little bit of respect when you're in the cage, and so you lose a little bit of respect for Chandler after this? Give me some thoughts on this, Jess.
It's a fight, man. It's a fight. You're going to pull whatever you can until you get caught doing it, right? Like, we've all seen it, you know. Say a guy's got you up against the cage, he's about to slam you down. What do you do first? You reach back and you grab the cage. When you're trying to roll over and gain position or get a better spot on the ground, like, sometimes, you know, you grab the shorts, or you grab the back of the head, or you grab the cage. Or you do things, man. Michael Chandler, first and foremost, is a wrestler. I've never wrestled, so I don't have that background, but I know lots of people who have wrestled collegiately and Olympically, actually. And that kind of thing is something that happens. Like, when you're looking to gain that position, you will, you know, you'll slip the hand, you'll do the hook, you'll, you know, there's the opposite end of that as well. I hate to say it, but that happens in wrestling matches as well. So is it dirty? Yeah, like it's dirt, it's illegal. You're not supposed to put the hands inside the mouth, right? Like, that's the MMA rules. But if the ref ain't calling it, if he ain't seeing it, you're being able to be sly about it and try to get that positioning. You know, hey, man, it's on the referee to eventually go back and see that happening. And if you can be slick about it, hey, man, like, I'm not saying it's right, but I'm saying if you get away with it, there ain't much that can be done.
What happens if Chandler gets a choke there and Poirier goes to sleep and then wakes up, you know, and the next day is in the media and he goes, hey, man, the fucking guy fish-hooked me. All you got to do is look at the replay. And now we're not going to have that real-time replay like we did with Rogan during the broadcast, but we're going to have all of MMA Twitter reaching out and going, oh, yeah, I'll pull this fucking fight, and actually this is where we did it, and I'm going to post it. And all of a sudden, we just have full-level red chaos in combat sports where I think Poirier would have an argument where he can go to the sanctioning bodies, the commission, if you will, and say, look at this fucking tape. You got to throw this fight out. You got to call this a no contest. You got to fucking, I don't know if you got to suspend this kid, or I don't know what the ramifications are there, but it just, to me, I don't know, man. I don't know if the fucking risk outweighs the reward. Again, there's camera angles on you. There's 7 different camera angles on you during that fight. That feels fucking impossible to get away with, but I also agree with you a little bit, Jess. If you know what I mean, listen, we just watched World Series games where guys were getting fucking called out and held accountable for putting shit on baseballs, like, you know what I'm saying. I hate to say it ain't cheating if you don't get caught, but it's kind of how sports rolls. Jess, let's keep it moving. We are not going to spend a lot of time on this fight because, again, where we were right. But Carla Esparza, Zhang Willie eliminated her pretty quickly there, Jess. Any thoughts on this?
No, man.
It went 2 rounds. I'm sorry. It did go 2 rounds, so not that quickly.
It was a mismatch from the very beginning. I don't think that Carla ever was able to establish her dominance. And her dominance is, again, like, she's another wrestler first. She was never able to gain that dominant position, try to get those takedowns. Wiley basically controlled from strikes, and eventually she got the finish there. I think it was pretty early in the second round too. I don't even think it went deep into the second round. It was pretty early. You said it last show before this fight happened, that if she wins this fight, we both picked her to win, that we could be possibly seeing a cyborg type dominant run from Wiley. And I think that we can. I don't know who you throw at her besides recycled fighters that we've already seen her fight and beat. Maybe the Rose thing again. Like, I mean, like that maybe has some weight to it, like down the road, maybe. But the competition from the top of that division, and I believe it's the strawweight division, I believe. So from the top of that division to the bottom, everything in the middle is super loose. Like, there's not a lot there. It's not a meaty division. So you're just kind of stuck with like the 3 to 4 women at the top that will just basically be getting recycled through championship fights. So we could very possibly see a big run from Zhang Weili.
Yeah, I'm not coming off of that take. I think that we're both on the right mind frame there. I don't know what we do with Carla next. Carla's had a hell of a run here, close to 35.
Love Carla. Dude, fantastic performer.
I feel like if you have close to 30 fights in women's mixed martial arts, that's a pretty fucking impressive career.
That's pioneer status.
And we might be more towards the tail end than we are getting back into these championship fights. Because, again, young man, young woman sport. Jess, give me the thoughts here on Izzy Adesanya versus Pereira. We thought, again, that there was a scenario here where we got into them deep waters, and possibly Pereira wouldn't have the legs, the stamina, the gas, if you will, to put them heavy hands on Izzy. And boy, were we wrong. Give me some thoughts on this one.
You know, there were, for most of this fight, I thought that Izzy was maybe not very dominant, but winning rounds.
He was winning. No, he was winning.
He was winning rounds. You know what? I'm just going to put it like this. I think that everybody from NFL teams to Major League Baseball teams, soccer clubs, all the way down to mixed martial arts fighters, someone somewhere has a kryptonite. And Alex Pereira is just his kryptonite. I mean, he caught him again with basically like the same shit that he caught him with before. Like, I mean, it was super weird how the whole like thing happened.
It was almost like you could see it coming too, though.
Yeah, super crazy.
So, I mean, I again in agreement with you, I had it 3-1 Izzy, and that round that I gave Perea, I wasn't like, oh, that was a lay down round for him. It was a close round that I thought he did enough to win. And at some point in that fifth round, and we've seen it with Izzy, he just gets a little bit flat footed. I think he got caught with a heavy combination or a body shot or something in there prior to the actual knockout. But Perea was game as hell. And Perea did not lose that power. And Perea just did the thing where he just kept fucking fighting. When he'd get taken down, he would find a way to get up and keep fighting. Man, and we said it about the kryptonite. You might be right, Jess. I hate to say that, and I do want to see this fight again. I really do.
Oh, for sure.
I don't, and I think it will happen again. I don't know, and I don't know if Dana's going to go, fuck that. There's other fights to make in this division. And Izzy, sorry, you know, you got to fucking fight some tune-up fight or some shit. I don't know. I just don't understand how I'm under the assumption that Izzy is a marketable international champion.
Yes.
Where, you know, he moves the needle here, if you will. And why you wouldn't want to get him right back into a rematch here within the next 3 to 6 months, depending on whoever, you know, whenever they can get it done. And see what happens. This is an incredibly intriguing fight. We've never seen this dude challenge like this, and now we've seen him knocked out. The story is there. It's written itself. Can he is Alex truly his kryptonite, or is him himself his own kryptonite, fucking around and letting this guy stick around for 5 rounds and then getting caught? Because that's, I mean, I don't want to say he let him stick around, but who knows what happens if he applies more grappling? Who knows what happens if he just if he has 10 more seconds left at that end of that first round, when it looked to me like he fucking staggered. But I don't know. Do you think he gets an immediate rematch here, Jess?
The story's there. It's the Clubber Lang versus Rocky Balboa.
Yes.
I mean, this moment. You have the young, hungry, up and coming lion who's like, you know, fuck the champ, man. I've already put hands on the champ. He knows what I'm about. And then he goes in, he has an MMA fight against him, and he gets the win, a huge win. The biggest win of his entire fighting career, kickboxing included. I don't care. That Izzy fight back in the day, this fight much bigger. Because this fight puts a strap around your waist and claims, you have the claim that you are the best middleweight in the entire world.
There was a lot. No, the accolades were higher than that. They were calling him top pound for pound.
Yeah,
I mean, the accolades were higher than just the champion. I mean, he was the crowns that Izzy were being handed left and right.
Oh, yeah.
And they were rightfully so.
We're talking about
a
pound for pound number one guy.
And they were rightfully so. Because, again, and you and I have done this on the show, when you look at his record and his last 5 to 7 fights, you put him next to Usman prior to Usman getting knocked out in his 5 to 7 fights. You put him next, and you go to Anderson's best 5 to 7. The argument's there to be made. I mean, he truly cleaned out the division to where the UFC went, fuck, we're bumping Perea up because, one, it's the only guy that's ever beat him. Two, there's nobody left. They were hoping Strickland might be that guy, and Perea knocked him out. So credit to Perea. Interested in seeing the rematch.
Here's the funny part, though. You asked me, do I think that Izzy gets an immediate rematch? I think that he does. Because I think that from the point of view that you just laid out, which was brilliant, by the way, he is an international superstar. Everywhere that Israel Adesanya walks, he leaves a trail of money behind him. He is that good everywhere he goes. He's well-spoken. His demeanor, he can change with the company that he's in. If he's around younger kids, he can start speaking the young folk talk. If he's around the older guys, he can start talking the old man talk. Like, he's just got a way with people, how he speaks to people. And then, of course, the accolades he's had inside the cage. But to me, I want to see some of these other cats come up and get... Like, Perea, let him now make his... Mark, let's see him against a Vittori, or let's see him against maybe a Robert Whittaker. Like, let's see what he's got against some of these cats that can really deliver punches in big fights.
This reminds me of the early middle 90s when it was Evander Holyfield can beat Riddick Bowe, but Riddick Bowe won't fight Lennox Lewis, but Lennox Lewis can beat, like, they have these roundabouts of four or five guys that you could mix in, and this guy's style would beat this guy's style, but this guy's style would beat four of these guys, but not the fifth guy. And that's kind of where we're at here with Izzy losing. And I think that's, I wonder if that's what Dana truly wanted when he was booking this fight, was a little bit more chaos, if you will, in this division. And that's why I mentioned him being the international draw, because I wonder if how much Dana takes that into account when he's looking at, all right, we're booking this fight. Am I booking it just to get him out of here, to push him out of the division, to give, to build and create new stars, to give these other guys that shot at being the next level guys? Or does he go, no, you know what? Israel is such a great draw for me. He may not be a Connor, but he's such a great draw internationally that I want to keep the belt on him, that I love the idea of him just beating guys and collecting fucking checks and me putting the belt on him. I don't know. Jess, I think we spent a decent amount of time on the recap here. I think it's time to hit some of these football games. I've been staring at them for 40 minutes. I'm salivating over some of these games now. A lot of big spreads. Let me start there. Jess, my favorite thing on Twitter right now is watching you absolutely melt down on Bills games that they're winning. Give me some thoughts right now on where your head is at with the Bills. Also, give me some thoughts on this game. By the way, the Bills are at 9.5 across the board. They are the first Thanksgiving game.
I love Buffalo on Thanksgiving. We've won the last two Thanksgiving's games that we played. I think so. We beat Cowboys in that huge Josh Allen game, fumble, jump through the line. That was one of the you know, more memorable Josh Allen moments. And then, of course, we beat the Saints last year. This year, I like the continuation of winning on Thanksgiving. I think we will. I think the Lions, though, represent a whole different beast right now. They're playing at a high level. They won three games in a row. Dan Campbell's out there doing push-ups on the sidelines and bench-pressing cheerleaders and shit like
still,
that. Like,
you're still a Dan Campbell guy. That's
Campbell is the human.
And you are not going off that.
He's the human cheerleader, baby. Like, I'm telling you, he's got the – and whatever has happened – I don't know exactly what. I mean, they still got Goff at quarterback, and they're still, you know, DeAndre Swift is still 3 weeks in and then 3 weeks injured. So we've not even seen him be able to play a full season. We got Jamal Williams out there, who is a former kickout from Green Bay, scoring 12 rushing touchdowns on the season.
This is wild.
This is a guy who, by the way, like, can probably only be a third down back or at best on, like, probably 20 other NFL teams. And he's scored 12 rushing touchdowns with the Detroit Lions. It's
insane. That's credit to Detroit's offense for figuring out ways, creative ways to get that guy the ball when they know he can score.
So as far as this game is concerned, it comes down to this. Dan Campbell's defense is spirited, but not elite by any means. They have holes all over that defense. I think Buffalo will find ways to exploit that. But the coaching staff needs to stop getting so cute in the red zone. The games against both the Dolphins, the Jets, and the game that we just lost against Minnesota, if Buffalo would have stopped being so cute in the red zone, Buffalo would be undefeated at this moment and not with three losses and sitting where we're at in the AFC East. The Bills' problem has been the red zone, where I believe that we're like 25th out of the 32 teams in the league in the red zone. The Kansas City Chiefs are number one in the red zone, and look at where the Kansas City Chiefs sit on top of the NFL. Kelsey. So if you can score in the red zone from 20 yards deep, that's all you got to get to, you win games. If you can't, you have to settle for field goals or turnovers, you end up losing games. I think that Buffalo will come out. They will try to establish a dominant running game in this outing versus Detroit. They will let Josh Allen sling the ball from sideline to sideline instead of so much up and down the field. Look for a lot of crossing patterns. Look for a lot of in and out routes by Diggs and Davis. And those guys, I would love for them to eventually get Nyheim Hines involved in the passing game, which is why we traded for him. Don't give up draft picks if you're not going to use the guy. You know what I mean? Like, so I think that they will be smart against Detroit and score often, But the defense in Buffalo has secondary issues, so I don't see it being a game. I'm taking Buffalo, but I'm going to surprise people. I'm not going to take the points. 9.5 seems a bit high.
The Lions have a tradition of getting blown out on Thanksgiving, so I love the Bills and the points, but enough about my picks. Jess, you have been very vocal on Twitter with this coaching staff.
Not happy.
Again, I understand you do the thing that I do not do anymore, which is tweet during games. I try my hardest not to tweet during Cowboys games because I have the same passion you do. And I would say a lot of the same shit that you do, you don't delete your tweets. So I very much enjoy going back and reading your tweets after the game and see, and just seeing how frustrated you are with this coaching staff.
Yeah.
Is it just the red zone play calling? I mean, it's tough.
For me, so this season so far reminded me of Josh Allen year one with Brian Daboll. It was a very odd mix of plays. Daboll was trying to set his foot, his groundwork, so to speak, on the offense. He was trying to help Josh Allen get used to the way that he wanted to run the offense. And now you have Ken Dorsey year one, and you kind of see the same pattern. Josh looks confused at times. Like, he doesn't exactly understand where the play is supposed to go or where the receivers are supposed to be. It reminds me very much of year one with Daboll. Like, he's trying to reestablish himself with the offensive coordinator. Josh Allen is not a year one guy. Josh Allen is at one point in time, a runner for the MVP award. You know, a guy who's been to the playoffs three times now, a guy who's faced the Patrick Mahomes of the world. I mean, he's a guy who puts up big numbers, big plays, hurdles over guys. He's year five. Let's take away this, play calling so much. I think that they need to trust Josh with the ball and either give him plays that he can make or let Josh pick the plays at the line of scrimmage, kind of like an Aaron Rodgers or almost like a Tom Brady. Like, let him look at the defense and make that decision. If he has to call the sideline real quick and be like, hey, this doesn't look right, Dorsey can jump in and be like, hey, play this. But I think Josh is comfortable with this offense and the players to run the offense so much less with Dorsey's play calling.
Yeah. I think it's tough because if he's ultimately just running the plays that the coach is calling and not audibling out of certain shit, that's a whole nother story. That's just him doing smile and wave. That's just him going, hey, you know what? I trust the coach regardless of what's coming in. He's seeing stuff that I'm not, so I'm just gonna have faith in him. My fear is when you just go, hey, Josh, just go ahead and just get out there, call audibles and figure it out. It's gonna end with him running more, and I don't know if
it could.
That's
a good point.
I don't know if I'd want that. Now, if he's out there calling audibles because he sees advantageous runs or screens, which are basically runs these days, or checkdowns, if you will, that's a whole nother story. But if I hate the idea of him going full Peyton Manning and going up to the line and going, okay, you go here, you go here, you go here, you go here. Because once that third or fourth read isn't there, he's going to do one thing, and that's put the fucking ball down and tuck it and fucking run. And I just, you know what I mean? With the elbow, I know I tweeted this or I might have texted you about it. This guy's got elbow injuries and he's out there running and sticking his fucking arm out and getting it squashed. Yeah. Like, you can't do that, and we got 8 more games left in the year. You fucking can't.
Again, though, another coaching issue. Maybe you don't play Josh. I mean, you lost the Minnesota game with Josh. Maybe you don't play him at all. And if you do lose, it doesn't look so bad because you're like, well, Josh didn't play. He's healing up. And at the same time, Josh is healing up. Maybe he comes back, this week or even after Thanksgiving. And, his elbow is more like 90%, 95% instead of right now. He's probably sitting at like 80%, health wise, but he's still going to go and play against a team who's hungry as fuck. Dan Campbell's going to have this team fired up. Do not get don't get that twisted. He is going to have this team fired up. They've won 3 straight games in a row. What bigger than to come in on Thanksgiving where Buffalo just played in your stadium and beat the Cleveland Browns, and now you get to play them in your stadium again, possibly disrupt their momentum again. Dan Campbell's got a lot riding on this. Trust me.
Yeah. Well, one more Bills take, and then we will keep it moving here. When Jefferson caught that ball, did you feel like the game was over? Because I've been watching football for I can't tell you how many years, and there's certain plays I've watched, and I've went, the game is over. The football gods have decided on that play, this team is going to win, and this other team is going to lose. Did you feel that way when you saw Jefferson bring that ball down?
1,000%. It was a it was what, a third and like 24 or something? Yes. Like it was third and extremely long.
It doesn't even matter to me. I'm not even trying to get you.
The catch itself, like you and I have argued a little bit back and forth on Twitter, like what's the better catch? Was it OBJ? Yeah. Was it this catch? Like,
yeah, it's not even an argument.
Whatever. Okay, so Justin Jefferson's catch was amazing, and I'll give him that. It was amazing. I don't know where it belongs in the catch of all time, but it was amazing.
It's one. It's number one.
It's
better than Odell.
It's not one.
You're
100% right.
Even though he caught that ball, and I said at that moment, this game's over. The football gods have made their decision here. The fucking Bills are losing this game. They still went down and blew the fourth and goal. And then the Bills get the ball, and then Josh fumbles the football.
But see, so that's the point.
To me went.
The football gods had already claimed the game for Minnesota.
With the catch.
They already said game over.
The catch. This is my point. Is the catch was it. The Vikings could have fucked around and fumbled that ball 25 yards back behind them. The Bills still would have found a way to kick the ball 50 yards in front of them to get him back and score that touchdown. That was unfucking believable. And let me tell you, there are very few times I feel bad for Jess watching football. I felt bad for you watching football at that moment. I said, God damn.
That catch moment took me back to I believe it was last year against Arizona in the desert. Buffalo storms down the field to take the lead on a great pass and catch from Allen to Diggs. There's like 48 seconds left in the game, something like that. Arizona somehow manages to get down the field. They've still got like 45, 50. They're way out of field goal range. And besides, they need a score to win. Kyler Murray to DeAndre Hopkins, over Poyer, over Hyde. There was another over Trey White, even, I believe. And
yeah, everybody.
D-Hop just – he skies over everybody to bring down this – I mean, that took me right back to that game. I cried inside. It hurt. My feelings are still hurt right now, and they've already played another game. My feelings are still hurt, so –
hindsight, they should have just tested him for steroids right then and there.
They should. They should have just went out on the field, did a COVID test.
I'm not going to allow us to spend equal time on this game, but I will allow you to ask Cowboys questions out of me if you need to. The New York Football Giants are a whopping 10 to 10.5 point dog to the Dallas Cowboys. The 1:30 Thanksgiving game. Jess, who you got?
I just want to say, like, the difference between when you have your franchise quarterback in the game versus when your franchise quarterback is on the bench.
It's different.
It's such a difference. And I've tooted his horn for years. And anybody who's listened to this show, you can't deny this. I love Dak Prescott. I think he is an amazing quarterback. Yeah. I love the guy. This kid's got moxie. He's got class. He's got a good arm and a lot of accuracy. And when he is on, Dak is better than everybody else in the league. Like, Dak Prescott can be so damn good. And, yeah, there's times when Dak don't look so good. But you know what? Josh Allen's looked like shit for the past 3 weeks. And I'm still sitting here saying that the Bills are going to go win the Super Bowl. So if you're a Dallas Cowboys fan, which my boy Jason is, I would be extremely happy that Dak is playing as well as he is. Tony Pollard is running his ass off. And Zeke, when given the opportunity, he's been making the most of it at least. And those receivers are just loving having Prescott in there because he just delivers such smooth-looking balls. Like, his passes are crisp, and he gives everybody an opportunity to get involved in the game, even Dalton Schultz, and he is a welcome back. to Dallas Cowboy fans as well, having Schultz back in the game and healthy. It's been a blast. This Cowboys team, I don't think that they cover the points. I think points is a lot. I think the Giants' defense is still tough. Brian Daboll still has things to play for right now. Like, they're still a possible playoff team. So I don't think that they're going to make this game easy on Dak and the Cowboys. But by God, I'm telling you, that defense is still a monster as well. The two heads have come together to form a beast in Dallas. And I think that it's rightfully so to speak. And I just told my buddies on our little text chat, out in the NFC, you better fucking watch out for the Dallas Cowboys because they're hot right now. And they've got a whole another half of the season to play with Dak healthy.
The gauge here with the last 2 weeks being the Minnesota Vikings and how the Bills had the difficulties with them and how the Cowboys had the opposite is unique, because I went into this game thinking Dallas wins, but it's not going to be easy. And I was wrong. They blew the fucking doors off of the Vikings. And I don't know why the Vikings stopped running the ball. They should have continued. I don't think the Giants will give up on running the ball. I think we're going to see a healthy dose of Saquon, healthy dose of Matt Breida, who's still got a lot of fucking tread on those tires, a lot of gas in that tank. Those legs are big boy legs. And I think that we're going to have a 10 to 14 point game, about 2 minutes left. New York will make it interesting. They'll make it a one score game. I agree with you, Jess. I don't like the 10 points. I think this is like a 4 to a 7 point win for Dallas. In agreement with everything you're saying with Dak, the line's playing a lot better. Everything is just kind of gelling really well right now for Dallas. Most importantly, again, I think the focus is that defense, right? I think that Parsons is playing out of his mind. I think Diggs is once again playing out of his mind. He's having more of a Revis type year where he doesn't have a lot of interceptions. He's just not giving up a lot of yards. These last two or three games, that Jefferson game, he pretty much shut Jefferson down.
Cornerbacks should not be strictly judged by picks. Mm-hmm. If you have a corner who is a shutdown corner, and there's been lots of really great shutdown corners throughout the history of the league, a lot of those shutdown corners don't come up with 10 picks a year. Sometimes they have three. Sometimes they have four.
Because they're not being thrown at.
But they're not being thrown at. And the passes that they are, if they can't get to it, they're not going for the pick. They're going for the knockdown, or they're going for the defense of the pass. So
I'm interested in seeing what happens in these next few games with the Giants, because I'm in agreement with you. I think that coach is not necessarily playing for his job. I think it's more about Daniel Jones and what happens with Daniel Jones these next 4 to 6 weeks, because I feel like the New York media has fallen in love with him. They love a good comeback story. We all do. And I think that there's a little bit of a comeback story here with him where it's like, oh, we thought he sucked. He doesn't suck. Does he suck? We think in the right system, he's okay. You and I have not come off of my opinion of him. Great football player. Doesn't necessarily translate to great quarterback.
I agree.
Maybe on his best days, he's 16 to 20. That doesn't necessarily mean, doesn't necessarily mean you're going to win games with him or Super Bowls with him. 5-20 game, and we've been picking on Minnesota like a scab, so let's go right back at it. They're a 2.5 point favorite, so they're basically giving the points at home to the New England Patriots. Jess, who you got?
I've got Minnesota in this game. Having to go from Buffalo to Dallas, and then finally, kind of like, I hate to say it, but I mean it's kind of true. The New England Patriots are not that good of a football team this year. Mm-hmm. Even that win last week, like weird. Weird win. Just you should never give up.
Not a coach, but a quarterback fired.
Yeah, giving up a punt coverage touchdown like that, like to end the game, like not called for, guys. Like somebody's got to make it. But the Minnesota and Kirk Cousins has enough energy and weapons on that field. They should easily cover the points and get the win over the Patriots.
I agree. I like the Vikings. I like the points. New England is still bad to terrible. And the old Belichick stick around an AFC East game and find a way to win strikes again last week against the Jets. The Baltimore Ravens, they are a 4-point favorite. They're traveling to Jacksonville. We're moving to our Sunday games. Jess, who you got?
I got Baltimore. Baltimore and the points. You know, the Ravens right now, you definitely need to start keying in on them being a dark horse for a Super Bowl run. Mm-hmm. They got Mark Andrews back and healthy. Isaiah Likely, the other tight end, the rookie tight end, came in and fit in nice for Andrews. But Mark Andrews is a Travis Kelce-type game-changing tight end. He does not miss passes. He makes every block. He is the hardest worker on the field outside of Lamar Jackson. This team is a dark horse to make a Super Bowl run. They will go to Jacksonville, and they will score more points than the Jaguars.
I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I feel like Baltimore's defense is good or great this year. I don't see them in a lot of games where it's a 30-37 type game, but I could be wrong. I don't have the numbers in front of me. Not giving up on Trevor, as always, but I do like the Ravens, and I do like the points. The Denver Broncos, let's ride, Jesse.
Let's ride.
They're a 2.5-point favorite on the road to the Carolina Panthers. Is Baker Mayfield playing quarterback there still? I don't know, Jess. Who you got?
I don't know who their quarterback is. I mean, is it still J.P. Walker? Is it Baker?
I think Baker played last week. Baker played last week.
So a lot of everybody's favorite bad quarterbacks seem to have videos leaked of them throwing like a really bad pass. Like it happened to Tua over this offseason. Like he's throwing some wobblers, and somebody snuck a video of a Baker Mayfield just absolute turducken about 25 yards down the field. I don't think that thing had any spin on it whatsoever. This was during a practice session. I don't even think he was throwing to anybody. Hilarious video, but that's kind of how he played in last week's game. I think Carolina got the win last week, which was, you know, crazy enough to say they got a win. But it won't happen this week. They will not win this week.
You like Denver? You like the
I like Denver. Points. I mean, it's 2.5 points. I know it's kind of like it's a wash type Vegas game.
1,000,000%. Vegas wants no part of this.
I can give the Broncos 3 points. I could see it being a 3-point win, but Russell Wilson still is a bum, and that's all I got.
This is gonna be Broncos win by 3 or 4. Russell throws for less than 250 yards. That whoever the running back is now, that's not Melvin Gordon.
When did Melvin Gordon get released?
This week, Latavius Murray again just shows up at places and gets people's jobs. He's gonna fuck around and get 18 carries, 80 yards, and a touchdown because that's what he does no matter where he shows up, whether it's in New Orleans or fucking wherever. And the Broncos win. Yeah. The Washington football team, Jess, I've been saying this for the last 3 or 4 weeks. Nobody believes in us. Ron Rivera, he's done it again. They're a 4-point favorite at home versus the struggling Atlanta Falcons. I could have sworn to you, I'll shit on Mariota all day, but I feel like he had a really good game last week when I was watching him. I was like, all right, that felt like a good Mariota game. I think it was against the Bears, though, so it makes sense. Who you got?
A lot of people are calling for Mariota to be set. But I think that he's actually played like one of his better seasons as a starting quarterback in the NFL. It's not been great, and he never will produce a great statistical season.
The guy's a fucking filler.
But he can play the quarterback position, and when he's healthy, at times he can look and produce some amazing things. I just reminded somebody that I don't know if it's the first time in history, but Marcus Mariota actually threw a touchdown pass to himself in a game when he played for the Tennessee Titans. I mean, that kind of shit does not happen in real life, but it happened to Marcus Mariota. I don't like the Falcons at all. I think that Kyle Pitts is on IR right now. I don't know if he'll even return. I mean, why would you? Why not just sit it out and just kind of wait till next season when they have a potential franchise quarterback. We all know that Marcus Mariota won't be in Atlanta, at least as a starter quarterback. So
Washington and the points.
Washington. Taylor passed me a Heineke, man. The kid's playing balls out right now. And you said it last week. Ron Rivera's like his emphasis on no one believes us. We're the underdogs. We don't even have a football name. We're called the Commanders, but that name sucks.
Yes.
Like,
we're
that,
gonna be
that
sold.
Has been etched into the brains of every single player on this football team. And not only that, but Chase Young might return this week.
Yes,
so
he is.
If that 100%. Happens, then the defense gets even better.
Yes.
Gonna have, Chase Young played like shit at the beginning of the season. Don't get me wrong. He did not. He played like a form, like a shell of himself. But having time to sit back, heal up from some injuries, take that breather away from football, he's going to come back and he's going to be refreshed. He's going to see a football team that's won like 3 out of their last 4 games. I mean, Taylor is out there just passing tutties all over the field. Scary Terry McLaurin is looking like one of the most elite receivers in the league right now. And the running game, you got Antonio Gibson and that Brian, I can't remember his name.
Yeah, the kid.
Kid who got shot and he came back. Another miracle story. Only can happen to a Ron Rivera football
nothing
team.
Nothing but miracle stories on that goddamn team.
Oh my gosh, I'm telling you right now. So I'm taking the Washington football team and 10 points.
We love Washington. We're all in. We love the points. And again, I picked up Washington's defense in our fantasy league last week. They got me a shitload of points. They're going to give me a shitload of points this week.
Chase is back, baby.
Okay. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 3.5-point favorites on the road, traveling to the Cleveland Browns, who are like one game away from getting Deshaun back. Although I feel like Brissett is playing well enough to get a starting job somewhere else next year. Jess, who you got?
I'm going to go with Tampa Bay. I think Tampa Bay has been finding ugly ways to win football games. This is
Tampa
not
– Tampa Tom, baby. I'm telling you, Jess, everything I'm saying about Tampa Tom the last few weeks, it's coming to fruition.
To me, I'm going to put an ice pick in this theory. To me, this is not a Super Bowl. This is not a team with a Super Bowl run behind them. This is a team that's finding ways to win games, but they're not going to beat the elite teams in the NFC. They are no longer an elite team in the NFC. They have a potentially elite defense, but again, banged up. A lot of guys are on the bench right now. A lot of guys are on IR. A lot of guys not playing. Tom Brady playing like a 55-year-old quarterback instead of a 43-year-old quarterback, which doesn't make much difference in this league because he's just fucking old. He's playing like an old man. He's taking some hits. He's not moving around the pocket as well. His passes aren't exactly as crisp, but then he does have games where he looks pretty damn good. But he's definitely good enough to hit the road here and win this football game. Tampa Bay, take the points.
Yep, Tampa Bay wins. Tampa Bay covers. I think Cleveland's going to have a weird next 4 or 5 weeks trying to transition into the Deshaun Watson era, and it begins this week because
Amari Cooper's going to love life.
I'm really interested in is I wonder if Brissett's going to have teammates this week that are going to think, well, I don't give a fuck what you do because you're not going to be here next week anyway. That kind of worries me a little bit. That's why I like Tampa Tom. That's why I like the points. And once again, I'm staying on my Tampa Tom, the rejuvenation of all 40-something divorced men, the inspiration.
The inspiration. He's that
guy. Listen, every 40-year-old something divorced dude rocking a baseball cap. He's
back
fit.
Baseball cap, baby.
Backwards, forwards. They're feeling Tom. Okay, 1.5-point favorites here. The what was I going to say? Jesus Christ. Cincinnati Bengals. They're traveling to Tennessee, the Titans. 1.5. Vegas wants no part of this. Jess, who you got?
I do want to say that I tweeted it out. I think the Bengals white-on-white jerseys are the best in the league. Those are the cleanest jerseys I've seen in a very long time. Burrow right now. Burrow's on fire, man. He's on a good pace. I think that Tennessee's defense is good. I think that the offense is still, you know, basic. It's just basically runs through Derrick Henry. But I think that on the other side of the ball that, you know, everything's just kind of flowing, you know, well. And I can't trust the offense over in Tennessee with just being a one-dimensional type offense.
Yeah, this feels like a Burrow and company get it done, a 27-20 type game.
It won't be pretty for sure.
Gonna be
defensive scramble.
Gonna be bull and chew ugly. Wouldn't be surprised if you get a special teams or a defensive touchdown in this game. I like the Bengals. Jess, there are – I'm looking at 1, 2, 3, 4 ugly games. I refuse to let you spend a lot of time on these games.
I won't. I promise.
Here's the first one. The Miami Dolphins are a 13-point favorite against our favorite lovable losers, the Texans.
The Houston Texans. Miami, take the points, dude. Yeah, it's Miami, a lot to take them.
Miami, take the points. Seattle is a 3.5-point favorite at home versus the Las Vegas Raiders. Who you got?
I'm going to take the upset. I'm going to take the Raiders.
Listen, I think you and I are on the same page here. We got to find an upset somewhere in here, right? I like Vegas. I like the points. And yeah, we're finally going to get that Seattle trending down. Too many people bought too much stock in them too early in the season. okay, this is Bowling Shoe Ugly. The highest spread of the week, Jess. Guess it for me. The Rams without Stafford are on the road playing the Chiefs. What do you think the spread is?
I'm going to go 15.
14 and a half. Very close.
Oh, Lord.
You like the points?
I do. I like the points.
Two touchdowns is a lot.
I you know what? I think it's at least a two touchdown score game. Yeah. Chiefs are on a roll, man.
Yep.
Chiefs are on a roll. Stafford's not playing. You got what, John Wolford or whoever the fuck their backup quarterback is playing. I mean, this game's over, bro. It was over last week when Stafford got a concussion.
John Wolf, because he fucking stinks like a dog. You fucking old dog. You gotta take old Yeller.
They got Cooper Kupp. At least you can be like, hey. You know, you could at least be like, okay, well, quarterback can at least throw to Coop, and then he'll get some, you know.
Imagine being Aaron Donald, and you fucking came back to no Cooper Kupp and fucking Wolf at quarterback, barking like a fucking dog, and you're week 12 getting pounded at the ass by the Chiefs.
You're like, what are the Rams, like 4-6?
They've been eliminated. Officially been – they're on the clock. They're fighting for that fucking 8th overall pick. Yeah, I like the Chiefs, and I agree 1,000,000% with what you're saying, Jess. Over under 2 touchdowns for Kelce in this game.
I'm going to go over.
Me too. He's good for 3. He's good for 3. Kelce? They're not stopping this fucking guy.
No one can stop Travis Kelce.
They're gonna go down 17 points, and you're going to see a whole lot of guys just throwing their arms up and not giving a fuck anymore. Okay, another game we're not going to spend a ton of time on. The Los Angeles Chargers. I don't know if they're trending up or trending down. They're a 4.5-point favorite on the road to will Kyler Murray play or not, the Arizona Cardinals. Who you got?
I got the points whether Kyler plays or not. Arizona is not a good football team.
They're messy.
They're not, but they're just not. I'm going to take the Chargers.
It seems to me like Arizona tried to do a lot of addition by subtraction, and it bit him in the ass. A lot of the stuff that they've done hasn't worked.
What a weird
the Hopkins thing. Just I know he's playing well, but you don't have him for the first 8 or 10 games, and that was kind of the difference. I remember, Jess, when you and I did the preview show, and we were looking at some of these schedules, and we looked at Arizona, and we said, man, without Hopkins, they're going to struggle in a lot of these games. And here we are. That's what happened.
Hell, they're struggling with Hopkins.
We like the Chargers. We like the fucking points.
Yeah.
The New York Jets are a 5.5-point favorite, and I think Wacko Flacco is back under center against the Chicago Bears. Is Fields playing? Is Fields done for the year? What's going on here?
I heard that the injury was minor.
So is he playing, or we don't know?
But I haven't heard that he's playing or not. The official starting quarterback for the New York Jets is actually going to be Mike White.
I love Mike White.
Mike White's Mr. Remember, like, I think it was last year the Jets had a little run with him, and he said, I should have been the number one overall pick in the draft.
Jess, by the way, this spread is 4, 4.5, 5, 5.5, 4.5. So it's kind of all over the place here with our favorite betting sites. Heads up.
You know what? I'm going to surprise you all right now. I'm going to take the Bears with or without Fields.
No, I'm not.
I'm take the Bears.
Well, you got to find some upsets in here. I'm not. I'm this
that's,
is a
that's
pretty,
where I'm at. I don't trust the Jets. I don't trust the Jets.
This is a pretty straight up and down week for me, Jess. It really is. I like. I think Vegas is knows what they're doing this week.
Hey, Chris. Chris, I love you so much. I'm taking the Bears this week.
I don't listen. I love you, and happy holidays to you and Double L, the kids. I'm sure I'll text you. But fucking the 5.5, this is going to be the Jets hated that kid, and he's been replaced. And now maybe Sal is on to something. And dude, if White comes out and balls and has an over 300-yard passing game, and they blow the doors off the fucking Bears, which is in play, ooh, boy, let me tell you, you thought First Take was talking shit this week.
This game's going to be like 17-13 somebody.
See, I don't know. I disagree.
There's no way. None of these teams score over 22.
I think 23-13. I think 23-13 Jets. Okay, we've hit all of these. Okay, another ugly game. Listen, the Niners are really, really good right now, okay? Everyone's been tooting their horn. There's no reason for us to sit here and toot their horn more. They're at home. They're at 9.5-point favorite across the board here. I do see 10 at some sites. New Orleans is traveling east to west, Jess.
Who's the Saints quarterback right now?
Is it famous Jameis? Oh no, it's Andy Dalton.
Andy Dalton is not coming out and throwing another three
touchdown
game.
That motherfucker's been throwing some dimes on the red zone though. I catch him on the red zone throwing dimes, and I'm like,
hey,
damn.
He's got talent
and I'm
out
like,
there.
Why
the Saints
he
have
that shit in Dallas.
The Saints have really got right. The Red Rocket broke himself in Dallas.
I'm saying
he's over here in New Orleans.
Olave. The fuck you say his name?
That kid, man.
Olave of oil. He's balling with Red Rocket.
He's balling.
Hey,
well,
Alvin
Kamara has been getting into this game. I mean, he's been playing a lot more. I think last week he had about 100 yards total offense, both receiving and rushing. I think he had a different perception at the quarterback position to the New Orleans Saints and the key players that they got on offense. I still don't like the Saints, but you know what? I don't like the points. I'm not taking the points on this game. I think it's going to be a little bit closer.
Niners are back to just firing on all cylinders. Now.
Jimmy G bound to have a shitty Jimmy G game. Oh, this could be it.
You're saying that right after this guy just threw off of his ass. No, I don't think that. I think that this is going to be a Jimmy G 220-yard game. But it's going to be more they run the rock. Their defense makes a lot of fucking plays because East traveling to West. I like the Niners, and I like the points. Here's where my upset special comes right here, Jess. I'll throw it right at you. Green Bay, Sunday night, they're traveling to Philly and the Eagles. I like Green Bay to cover and win. I'm going to go fucking wild on this one, Jess. Who you got?
You are going. That's wild, man.
I fucking hate
the Eagles. The Eagles have definitely, to me, been trending down. Like, yes. I said it at the beginning of the season, like, after they won, like, their sixth or seventh game, right? I said, they're a fraud. This team has played nothing but just cans all season long. When they beat the Cowboys, people will always go back and beat the Cowboys' drum. They'll be like, well, they beat Dallas. They beat Dallas with their third-string quarterback in the game. Like, Dak was nowhere to be found. CeeDee Lamb, I think, left in, like, the second quarter of that game. You know, like, I mean, there's no way Dallas was winning that game. Philadelphia was stacked back then. They're stacked now. They're more stacked now, and they look least impressive now. Less impressive.
Yeah. Now,
and Jalen Hurts, I hate to say it, but you know what? All you in the national media talk about Josh Allen regressing every single day now.
Oh, I'm gonna tell you, here we are.
Jalen Hurts looks like he's been regressing.
So glad you're giving this take.
I said it.
Listen, you're saying stuff that Stephen A. and all these other people on the media are afraid to say. I don't know why, but you're fucking preaching right now. And you're preaching to the choir. And it's okay. If the guy went from, hey, he might be in the MVP talks to, hey, he's not in the MVP talks, but they're still winning a shit ton of games to, well, now he's getting different defensive looks. That's all stuff that's true. That's all stuff that's true. And so there is a little bit of regression there. Listen, they lost to Washington last week. And Washington, we just said, did the fool nobody believes at us at on the fucking road. Philly, once again, is at home. And fucking Aaron Rodgers is doing a lot of the nobody believes in us still. He won and he beat Dallas. And he goes and he beats fucking Philly. I think he exposes Philly's defense with those fucking mid receivers. I really do. I like Green Bay. I like the points. And I think we're going to see a little bit of Philly cooling off, not necessarily trending down, but cooling off. It's okay when you win your first 8 or 9 games to lose 2 of your next 3 or whatever the fuck it is. That's okay.
Mid-season losses happen, especially when you're a good football team, because other teams around you now have a lot of tape to watch on you.
So. Yeah, that hurts. Footage is all over the fucking place. Okay, let's finish up here. We're going to finish strong here, Jess. The Steelers on the road, they are a 2.5-point dog to Jeff Saturday, a.k.a. the Pancake Man. You didn't think I was going to fucking give up on that gimmick yet, did you, Jess? Who you got?
Jeff Saturday, congratulations, man. You get a win.
Almost two.
Your debut almost coaching.
Two. Almost beat Philly, too.
Beat Philly. Gave Philly a run for their money, which, again, goes back to that. You know, they were up late that game. The NFL's catching up. I don't like Indy in this game. I like Pittsburgh. I like Kenny Pickett. I like Mike Tomlin. If it comes to me, it's like this. I either go by quarterback, right? Like, who's the quarterbacks?
Oh, that's the move.
And then if the quarterbacks are, like, kind of wonky, I go, who's coaching the game? Mike Tomlin is an established – Super Bowl winning, future Hall of Fame head coach. Mike Saturday is a guy who went from coaching high school football to somehow finding a way to get the Colts a big win in his debut. I don't know how it happened. Congratulations again. Don't want to take that away from him. But I'm taking the Steelers all day, and I'm going to take the points.
1,000,000%. This is my third upset here. 2.5, really not that big. The Sharps aren't necessarily winning, but... Yeah, this is Steelers win, Steelers cover. The Pancake Man at home is going to be out-coached by Tomlin. You nailed that, Jess. The Steelers are going to run the fucking rock. Their receivers are going to be those Colts defensive backs. And that defense is going to give Matt Ryan fits because he's still fucking got 2 left feet. And we buried Matt Ryan 4 fucking 5 weeks ago. Why is he back on the field? As a starting quarterback, because of the fucking Pancake Man, you got to be kidding me! You're gonna get this guy killed, Jeff Saturday. Okay, listen, Jess, we hit all the games. We did a little wrestling. We did a little MMA recap. I think we've done a good job, my friend. I think this was a fantastic Thanksgiving show.
I loved it. It was great. Hey, everyone who listens, thank you all to all the countries that listen in. I appreciate every single one of you. To all the hardcore listeners who listen on a weekly basis, thank you very much.
We love all of you.
Happy holidays to every single one of you, to all of you and your families and your friends and the people that you'll be with. Please, if you're alone, find somebody, you know, call a friend and be like, hey, man, can I just come hang out? Like, don't be afraid to reach out. Reach out and find somebody, go hang out. I'm sure no one's family is going to say, hey, no, fuck that guy. He can't come over and hang out with us and eat turkey. Gonna say, come on over, eat some fucking turkey and have some mashed potatoes. Have a great, wonderful, and safe holiday season. Follow us on Twitter. It's a strange little segue. Follow us on Twitter at Jason. You can follow Jason at Valdez spelled backwards 559. You can follow me at JTT81. And you can follow the podcast, which right now, look at our followers, it's mostly made up sex people. And that's cool, man, because they're giving us numbers.
We'll take them. We're trying to get to 700.
Yeah, we're trying to get to 700 here. Keep Team it Toss up. 21. Folks, again, happy holidays. Jay, I love you. Thank you for doing the show. All the guys that we love in real life. We love all you guys. Chris, yes. Justin Von Doom, Shay, everybody.
Brian, shout out, Brian.
On the reg. B-Bride Black. Love you, boy. All
Brian
you guys.
And I are going to AEW. How about that?
Hell yes. Oh, and again, I just shout them out, but... MMA on the reg, wherever you are.
Yes, happy
you
holidays.
Are in our
we miss
thoughts.
You.
We love you. Happy holidays to you and your family, too.
I hope
love
you're not guys. A Jeff. All right, peace.
Peace.